Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Weather Claws. Prep for winter like a pro with Weather Claws, the smartest traction system for your car. And it's super easy to get. It installs quickly and easily. You don't have to move your vehicle or remove your tires. 3 minutes or less. Road and vehicle friendly. Go to weatherclaws.com and get 20% off using the promo code CanadaLand. A quick note before we begin, the biggest media story in the country, maybe the biggest media story this whole season, is of course the spying on journalists by the cops in Montreal. And yes, that is now plural. There are six more journalists now revealed to have been spied on by the Montreal police. A public inquiry has been announced by the province. The Prime Minister has spoken up. Obviously, this is something that we are going to be talking about a lot more on Canada Land. But it is still unfolding. We are watching it closely, and we will have more on it for you soon. Mark Weisblatt is not a troll, okay? This is something that he wants me to make very clear in the introduction to this podcast, and I am happy to do so. The guy is not some crank, though he is often cranky. He's not some wacko. He is not my own personal critic, although he does criticize me frequently, comprehensively, sometimes even fairly. Mark Weisblatt is a journalist. Certain kind of caustic, obsessive, curmudgeonly, perhaps antisocial observer of a journalist. The kind that we hear from less and less these days. And I for one, think that we are poorer for it. Mark Weisblatt is somebody who has been writing about media for a very long time. He used to have a media column in the late I magazine. He is a presence that has been felt as long as I can remember. And he is still with us, folks. He has found a way to revive his tabloid observations of the day's events. And by the way, he wears that word tabloid proudly. That's his phrasing. He's found a way to keep this alive in the form of an email newsletter called 1236, published by St. Joseph's Media. Guys, I have been sparring with this Mark Weisblatt guy for years, but I've never met him until now. Wait for it. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Ben Chapman, Mark Reed, Rachel Barreca, Diana, Glenford Jameson, Brian Young, Mark Richardson, and Alex Midgall. Alex, why did you decide to be awesome?
because the hosts you bring on your show are funny and have different opinions, and I'd like to keep you in check.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, therapy online that has served over 3 million people around the world, and it's available here in Canada. And this time of year, we're all emerging from our winter, like, seclusion and, you know, patio season and socializing, and it can be terrifically fun, but it can also create a lot of pressure. And some people get, like, anxiety, social anxiety from being out too much. What did Iggy Pop say about social life? It's torture dressed as fun. It doesn't need to be torture. I think it's just about finding, like, the right balance of how much of other people do you want. I mean, we need each other, but I think that at a certain point, it can become overwhelming. And talking to somebody about yourself, about your social life, about your relationships is a way of gaining insight into what is right for you. It's not selfish to examine that with a professional. And as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Listeners of the show get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. That's better, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is also brought to you by ShipStation. If you are a seller of things on the internet, you should be using ShipStation to handle your shipments. It makes things very easy. It takes your orders from all of the different places where you sell your things, from Etsy, from Shopify, from your own website, wherever. It sucks the order data into its app. It spits out shipping labels that are compatible with Canada Post, FedEx, UPS, whatever is the best option for you, the business owner. And in the time that it took me to tell you about that, you could have set the whole thing up. ShipStation gets a 5 out of 5, the highest rating possible from Shopify users. It is the number one choice for online retailers who need to ship things. This is the one you want to use, guys. And if you're a listener of this podcast, there's a special offer. Go to ShipStation.ca, click on the microphone at the top of the page, use the offer code CanadaLand to get the special offer and to solve this problem of your life and make shipping much easier. This episode is also brought to you by FreshBooks, the cloud accounting solution, the accounting department, really, for companies like mine that can't afford an accountant or for freelancers and small businesses, anybody who needs to send invoices. FreshBooks is your solution. Does a lot more than that as well. Helps you track your time, helps you log your expenses. There's a mobile app. You can do all this stuff on the go. You can find out when a client looks at your invoice. You can see how long it takes them to pay you. They pay you quicker when you use it. You save time when you use it. There are so many reasons. If you are a person who likes to get paid by the people you do work for, use FreshBooks. And use it for free for 30 days. Go to freshbooks.com/CanadaLand. When you do decide to become a customer, tell them that CanadaLand sent you. You'll be doing this show a favor. Thanks, FreshBooks. Finally, I want to get to the show, so no long crowdfunding message today. We are getting towards the end of our annual crowdfunder. Just a reminder that the level of support we ask for in exchange for some of our great rewards is reduced. The prices are reduced until about a week from now. So check it out. Go to patreon.com/CanadaLand now. The $7 offer comes with a t-shirt. That's going to be a $10 offer. The $10 offer right now gets you a book. That's going to go up. So if you were thinking of helping us and haven't gotten around to it yet, now is a fantastic time to support CanadaLand.
So you edit the show. This is an edited conversation.
This will be edited.
To make us both sound good.
You're saying if we go down an alley that you're not comfortable with, can you bail?
A safe word.
No, it's too late. We're rolling. You're fucked. It's all you could say is I don't want to, no comment, and deal with the repercussions of that. No, listen, you're here as my guest. You don't have to talk about anything you don't want to talk about. I brought you here because I'm curious and interested in what you're doing. You have to be so defensive. It's going to be okay.
What am I doing here? How did this happen?
You and I have history.
Well, we've both been around similar media circles in Toronto. going back 15, 20 years. Every Canada Land listener knows all about your trials and tribulations.
They're tired of this material. It's not about me.
Everything you're doing here is revenge for what went wrong, right? And I've gone through enough of those phases, too.
If you want to, we can talk about that. But I it's interesting to be sitting across the table from somebody who has been a presence in this discourse, in this conversation between journalists that I have been partaking in. What do I mean to you, and who the hell are you anyhow?
Well, right now, I am the editor-in-chief of 1236, Toronto's daily lunchtime tabloid, published by St. Joseph Media. I've been doing it now for a little over a year, and it's been the most exciting job that I've had in my life.
You worked at iMagazine doing something. I think maybe you did something similar to what I'm doing. You were a media writer. What do you consider yourself? What do you tell people at a dinner party?
1236. That's what I'm here to push. I mean, why else would I want to talk to you if not to promote this thing that I'm doing every day? But I think you seem to think so, too, that I'm reinventing journalism in a very specific way for a very certain audience, but genuinely doing something different. So you have these people on here presented as disruptors.
Okay.
I think I'm making it happen every afternoon.
You're very disruptive. You're gonna get to plug the newsletter. I promise you, the way that you're reinventing journalism will be covered. I'm just trying to get some context. You were at an alternative. You were the part of the Alternative News Weekly.
Yeah.
Universe.
Well, I mean, back in the 1990s, if you were young and scrappy and you wanted some attention for yourself, alt-weekly newspapers was where it's at. I got the opportunity to write in the context of music coverage, although I was more interested in the celebrity side of it. In this world of all these grungers, those who are holier than thou about their musical taste, I could stake out this position as being someone who was obsessed with the mass mainstream media.
You were an early poptimist against a bunch of snobby rockists before we even had the terms.
It's not like I ever could really figure out how to fit in. I was always trying to find friends, right? The kindred spirits, people that I could relate to. It always seemed a little bit elusive or out of range. I didn't know quite where my people were at the time, but I kept plugging away at it, and then the internet came along.
So far, all you've told us is that you wrote about music with a pop culture sensibility. But I think that you, like myself, had an interest in just sort of describing the media space itself and the all of the discontents and relationships of how that all worked. So what gave you a map for that?
Well, Jesse, there was a time long before Twitter when it really took a lot of effort to figure out who the players were. I spent a lot of money on magazines and books and reading and learning, looking up words in the thesaurus.
Sounds exhausting.
It was exhausting.
People listening now may not, depending on how old they are, be able to recognize what media was pre-internet. You know, there were a few voices that had a lot of volume.
Here was an era of campus radio. Mm-hmm. There were more outlets out there, cable TV in particular, that were looking for quirky voices that weren't heard of anywhere else. There was a different energy.
Yes, things get commodified. That's the system we live
well,
in.
I'm sitting across from Jesse Brown here, having listened to Canada Land for 3 years now, constantly railing against anybody that wants to make a living doing this kind of stuff, right? That anyone who gets a paycheck is somehow driven by greed, agenda, some sort of nefarious backroom activities that are going on. This is what you are all about here.
Dear sir, what a vicious mischaracterization of my position and expressions on the topic. No,
yeah, but we're just trying to make a living, right?
I mean, you get to a certain point in life,
but to constantly gnaw at this idea that anybody who's out there making money, finding a way to profit off of ideas and thinking and words and pictures and sounds is inherently evil.
Inherently evil. I'm glad that you went here because now we're right at it. We're at the crux of it. And this is the role that you have in my life. You were on my case before Canada Land.
Well, here and there to some degree. I always had an issue with what you were doing. I know some of that eventually got back to you, that you would have some kind of column about the state of the media, and I found that there was something wrong with it. People that we knew in common, they would tell you about it. When you first started the podcast here.
Sure.
Mutual friend. Like you were totally concerned with my opinion about you. That was the impression that they were left with. If you really wanted to know, you could have contacted me.
You got a better memory than I do, but I won't pretend otherwise, for sure. There's a weird kind of intimacy.
But what have I done to deserve that place in your life?
Provided constant critical feedback to my work, which I encourage and need to a certain extent.
So that's your way of saying that I am very good at what I do, right?
I think that is absolutely one way of interpreting what I just said, yes.
Thank you for answering the question, why did I bother coming here?
You have been a blogger?
I was involved with the Alternative Weekly through the 90s, around 2007. You could tell that this format was on its last legs. The authority of having a brand name of a newspaper that maybe people sort of remembered picking up from time to time 10 years earlier, that in itself wasn't enough. So that was a bit of a breakthrough that way. And it came at the same time that the social media thing started happening. So
you were blogging pre-social media.
Yeah, that as well. I was just thrashing around online trying to figure out what to do. Some opportunities fell into my lap, and then eventually they would go sour, and I would have to find something else.
This is freelancing. You hunt for a gig, you get a gig. It's got a lifespan, and eventually priorities shift, and you got to find a new one.
Yeah, but I was trying to find a bigger picture. What could I produce that would reflect the chaos of what I was looking at all day?
And what were you looking at all day? Again, what are we talking about? Is the consistent area of your interest, of your journalism, things media?
Well, being born and raised in Toronto, especially through the 80s, 90s, turn of the millennium, there was always that sense that if you were here, you were kind of stuck, right? You didn't make it to New York.
Fuck New York, you know? I don't even, like, it's not true. It's not true that if you're that good, you graduate to New York. If you're super ambitious, then, and you have resources where your parents can float your boat for a while, and you can go and you network in New York, then maybe you can get a job in New York, and then maybe 5 years later, it's really shitty to be in New York, and you move back. I've never understood or accepted that idea that there's some sort of minor league, major league kind of equation to the whole thing. And I think that's what keeps us back, is that consideration of this city and this country as some sort of farm league. That's bullshit.
Okay, you never accepted it. Who's to say I ever accepted it? I was in Toronto consuming all this media made in New York, right?
Sure.
And I took it all in from Toronto. This was the base of operations. And not having the pedigree to be much of a performer myself, as soon as I realized that you could maybe make a living just kind of writing about it, making fun of what other people were doing, tearing them down whenever the opportunity arrived, that seemed like a life for me.
Mark, tell everybody about 1236.
Okay, well, look, we had a unique opportunity here. To put a newsletter together. Well, St. Joseph Media, right? I'm working with this larger company.
My favorite Catholic conglomerate.
This is not an independent project, right? Mm-hmm. I'm working with a major publisher, their flagship magazine, Toronto Life.
You're just a media professional. You're not some blogger in your basement.
Just turned 50 years old. Well, at the same time, it wouldn't happen if I didn't have an understanding of how to operate independently, right? The entire thing is run on this mutual understanding that I am going to wake up every morning as early as I can and make this thing happen. And the opportunity came from people who realized that if they presented me with the structure that I needed, that I was not going to let them down. That's the kind of thing that only gets proven over a period of years, if not decades, right? They are investing in my obsession that once we set up the framework for a newsletter that would go out at 1236, that I would follow through and make it happen. So to have people believing in you to that level, I realize that's a very unique and special once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'd better not blow it.
I will try to somehow make sense of that Oscar acceptance speech. So St. Joe's is a publisher. Mostly they just are, they actually run printing presses. I think that's how they make most of their money. But they have magazines, and they've got a publisher there named Ken Hunt, who's I think a pretty forward-thinking guy who's trying to figure out how to bridge the gap from the way that we used to make magazines to the future. You approached them and said, I want to build a brand for you that's based on this thing that these newsletters seem to be taking off, which is like a kind of a not dissimilar from podcasting in this world of a constant churning algorithm driven feed of stuff. No, here is this thing. It shows up in your inbox. It's curated by a consistent voice. There's a person behind this, and he has selected a handful of things that you need to know if you want to know what people are talking about in Toronto.
It's largely the byproduct of me just foraging around online all day, every day.
I want to explain this a little bit further in technical terms to people who don't care much about what people are talking about in Toronto. But just, you know, we haven't talked at all about newsletters, which are having their moment right now. And I think a lot of people say, I don't get it. It sounds like you're blogging. You're aggregating a bunch of stuff. Why not just put it on a blog? The fact that people opted in, that they asked to receive this, and it feels to me that like a podcast, the newsletter is like, no, this is different. It's not just part of that churn. This is part of your routine. You get the newsletter every day at noon. You get the podcast every week at this time. And that makes it more valuable to advertisers.
Yeah, well, exactly.
How's that going?
Not too badly.
I am a subscriber. I enjoy your newsletter. I have noticed that most days there is not an advertisement on the newsletter.
What is this? Some sort of congressional hearing? wondering how I'm doing? No, I got a lot of runway for another reason.
Uh-huh.
And that's because the way we set up 1236 has provided Toronto Life and the company as a whole with a way to figure out how they can do something different.
Sure,
so
sure.
I put myself up to be that kind of guinea pig. They now have all sorts of information, intel, data about how you build a subscriber base, how you get people reacting to what you're putting out there. The email newsletters before were just treated as a bit of a sideline. We'll slap a bunch of links on here and we'll send it out and we'll see what happens and maybe we'll get some traffic. 1236 has been the template for a lot of that development. So if you're trying to get me on the point here that you look at the thing and it doesn't seem to always have an ad in there in the first year, little do you know.
Right.
That it's actually been a big influence and inspiration to what I think are some viable ideas about where journalism and media and content is going.
I would never be trying to embarrass or get you on any particular point. And in fact, anybody who's read our newsletter, Not Sorry, would make the same observation. There's usually not an ad in that thing. So I'm just trying to talk about where the forum is going. And
you have to build audience. Okay, it does take time.
Yeah.
So many ideas, right? Here I am kvetching about all the opportunities that passed me by. And a lot of it was because the plug was pulled before anybody figured out what they were doing.
But this is an old story. That's the first thing I want to say. So you say, okay, Jesse, don't judge me by, you can probably add up. And I even know how much you charge for your ads because you're very transparent about that in the newsletter. You say you can have your ad here for $300. So I could probably figure out this thing isn't making a lot of money and people could probably figure that out about our newsletter as well.
It takes time. And as far as startup ventures go, this thing is pretty low overhead. Compare it to Toronto Star Touch and the $35 million they've spent on that thing.
Well,
right?
Let's actually, you know what? I will let you take this in a different direction. Let's compare it to Star Touch. I have some things to say because I think it's actually an interesting comparison. To launch a newsletter like yours and start building an audience for a new editorial product costs St. Joseph Media one Mark Weisblatt. And then you start from zero people who subscribe to this thing and you work your way up from there. You're offering a free product. You're trying to build an audience and sell ads to it. That is not that dissimilar from what Star Touch was doing. They launched a media brand. They started with no subscribers. They give it away for free. we can't call it apples to apples in terms of the product. It's a very different product. We can't call it apples to apples in terms of the investment. They, you know, dwarf you in terms of how much money they put into it. But we can count subscribers. Do we have any idea how many they have and how many you have?
I can say at this point we're over 30,000 opens a week on 1236 as of October 2016. Sometimes it's not as long as I want it to be, but we, I think, figured out the right package, the right style, the right approach that keeps people coming back day after day.
All right, but we're bean counting here, and I'm going to go ahead and say you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of sub 10,000 subscribers. What do we know about StarTouch's subscriber base? I know you pay close attention to that.
I pay close attention, but it doesn't mean that I have them memorized. How obsessed do you think I am, Jesse Brown? Whatever the number is, look, they've stated unequivocally that the readership numbers were a disappointment that fell considerably short. The lean startup approach that we're using for 1236 had no expectations.
Yes.
So anything that we're able to show for this effort at this point is a win. It's a victory. We've accomplished something, because who was asking for this? What problem was it trying to solve, right? I was creating an audience, a market, a time of day, a concept, a spirit that there was no
you
precedent
created a
for.
Time of day.
Well, there was no legacy, right?
Sure.
This is not, I mean, this is what you go on about here all the time, a legacy brand. You're burdened with this idea. You want to, I worked at Post Media. I know how this goes, right? You can have all these pie in the sky ideas about how you're going to redefine the future of media. But at the same time, you're tethered to this newspaper that people are expecting on their doorstep every morning. Psychologically, you still need the print newspaper, right? The magazine.
Do you?
I think Maclean's magazine, by virtue of putting out a print edition, right? And we can make fun all we want of the fact that it sits on the waiting room table of the doctor's office, right? And gets encrusted with all sorts of debris over the decades.
We can and we should.
Old issue is still sitting there. But in the process, that brand reached millions of people. And going into the great unknown here, I think that's a little bit scary, because you can't count on the idea that anybody's going to visit you on these digital platforms. I mean, you've got the audience that you have now, but is that sustainable? Are people going to care? Is another competitor going to come and blow you away?
Wow, isn't that wonderful that the only thing you could do to distinguish yourself so that people actually know your brand is have something to say? You can't just steal that by virtue of the fact that you printed this and sent this off to dentists and doctors, whether they subscribe to it or not.
But you spend so much time in Canada land agitating against the establishment way of doing things, right? So the whole idea that Margaret Wente has a column in the Globe and Mail, right? And she somehow needs to be taught a lesson for all her misdeeds. And we're going to figure out how to pummel her into a puddle of humiliation so that she can be compelled to retire, right? And then someone younger, more eclectic, more diverse can then take her job, and they can become the new Margaret Wente. What seems to be missing is an acceptance of the reality that the shape that things are going to take in the future is completely different from where they are now. Do you not plead guilty to perpetuating this a little bit too much?
Guilty as charged with circumstances.
Okay, well, explain.
I have been disproportionately fixated on the problems of the media establishment as it stands. Part of that is because I'm paid to do that. Part of that is because journalism is about what exists, not about what's going to exist in the future. And it's very difficult to make a show every week about what we should have. No, you talk about what is and what's wrong with it. I do feel that your gross mischaracterization that I think that it's just a question of getting somebody more woke in the Margaret Wente spot is not really where I'm coming from, but I certainly give more attention to these obsolete dinosaurs than any other Canadian I know. And that is because I feel that they're standing in the way. If we wait 3 to 5 years, we're not going to have a media left in this country.
It's easy to be on Twitter all day, right, trying to order these complex corporate organizations around. I've been guilty of it as well on different platforms, right? This idea that we would somehow complain the media into getting better and reflecting our tastes and our interests.
Well, it sort of worked, my friend. It's the constant criticism that we subject these institutions to has actually had an effect. But you're right. Look, my philosophy has been that at any opportunity, I will remind them to get out of the way if they can't lend a hand, okay?
Yeah, but then what? What? Sell their house? Lose their pension?
Try.
Give up on retirement?
Well, that's the thing, is that so many of them are on their way out that they don't actually care if they turn the ship around. I think that it must depress them, a lot of the people at the top, that they're going to be the last editor of said newspaper, the person who saw a great institution into the ground, and maybe they want to get out before that happens. But they're not looking forward to what happens 20 to 30 years from now. So I have oscillated from originally thinking that we needed to sort of shame them into getting with it and actually having a strategy. And now I don't even think, even if they wanted to and they all say they're trying to, I'm not sure they can. So now my gripe is more that they are still hogging the space. They're hogging the mind space. Their brands are still cluttering up people's conception of what Canadian media is. And they're hogging whatever advertising revenue still exists. And it's much more effective to connect with an audience when they're finally gone. So when I hear that the government's going to bail them out, I get sick, because you're just going to keep them on life support forever. And it comes to the detriment of people who are losing their jobs and could use 100 more companies like my own to go work at. So this is real, first of all. I mean, it's real. They're at a point where I think that their existence is actually causing more harm than good. So I'll rail about that. But I'm trying to move on. I think you're right. I think that this show needs to evolve and start talking about where we're going as opposed to where we've been and what's wrong with where we've been.
So we've got all these media brands, portals, websites, whatever they are, multi-platform machines that have come up in the last 5 years or so on the premise that they would define a new kind of media. So that's BuzzFeed, that's Vice, Vox, redefining how we see the news and making all sorts of claims about how they represent a new generation and what they're going to do, how things are going to work in the future. At the same time, there's a lot of money riding on them being able to deliver a return, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole paradox of venture-funded media. When you have Univision on the Fusion website, I don't know if you're familiar with that. That would be one of the America's main source of woke world news. Happens on this Fusion. They ran a story a couple weeks ago. Why doesn't Taylor Swift denounce Donald Trump? And it was a writer trying to do a call out on a celebrity, Taylor Swift, going on and on and on, multiple paragraphs, trying to make the point that somehow Donald Trump was going to become president, all because Taylor Swift wouldn't send a tweet to her fans deploring his deplorable ways.
And did it work? Did she do that?
No, she didn't care at all. But I think that's just one example. Here you have people that are, you know, sitting in these veal fattening pens, given this assignment that they should come up with stories every day, hot takes, think pieces, just grind them out one after another, after another, after another. I think this has gone on now for enough time that maybe we can reflect on this era and say, has it really been good for anything?
The culture that we were surrounded by was no less disposable, deplorable. It was no less driven just by whatever the flavor of the month was, whatever people wanted to look at just to get out of their brains for a second, had nothing to do with social responsibility, had nothing to do with being more informed. We're always going to be in a culture that is dominated by entertainment and distraction. The fight that I think, you know, we're trying to fight, or the question that's we're trying to solve for that's unknown right now, is how do you also have something that if you want to be informed, you can be.
Well, I'm sitting here going on and on about how this clickbait has been damaging to society.
Yes.
I also want to add that I love it. It's amazing, right? To constantly be in this vortex of people clamoring for your click and going at each other and trying to be as outrageous as possible. And obviously, I'm obsessed with that game. I enjoy participating in it. We had a whole national Canadian scandal about the discontinuation of pizza pockets.
No, he didn't.
Well, we did, okay? And I was the one who set that in motion. So for me, the work that I'm doing with 1236 was my way of doing something, you know, a little bit sinister, sort of subversive. Can I turn this into a story by finding out what's really going on with the pizza pockets? I take every opportunity I can to revel in the ridiculousness that surrounds how nothing, absolutely nothing, can be taken out of the ether and turned into something that's considered news. This is what I live for.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. While you're going on about how you want the older generation to move out of the way, I'm saying I'm having the time of my life watching them stagger and stumble and stutter because they can't figure out how to get messages out in an effective way. And that's kind of my challenge here to the Canada Land audience, to say, why not do it yourself? You know, there is so much pent-up frustration, this desire to be part of the establishment. Still, you know, newspapers are obsolete. Who reads these things? This is for my grandparents' generation. But if you offered these same people an 800-word, three times a week column in the newspaper, that would be the fulfillment of their greatest dream, even if they had nothing to say. And so here the opportunity exists to make something different happen on your own. Don't copy me. Don't copy what's going on at Canada Land. Make it work on your own. Show us something that's never been done before. I managed to figure it out. Why can't you?
That is your Canada Land Show. I hope you enjoyed it. You can email me. I am at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I read the emails that you send me, and I respond to them when I can. We are on Twitter at Canada Land. Our website is canadalandshow.com. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/CanadaLand. Have a look at our book. Have a look at our rewards. Think about helping us out. The next episode of The Imposter will be up on Wednesday. Tickets to The Imposter's live show, Degrassiland in Toronto, are selling fast. Get on it, people. Check out our website for information on that. Shortcuts will be up on Thursday. I make this show with Katie Jensen. Syndication is handled by Russell Gregg. If you like what we do, please support us.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.